Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you so much for blessing us today with understanding concerning the days to come and why things happen the way they do for the church. So thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness and giving us wisdom to cooperate with you in this process. Amen. Okay, I think we're going to call this The Beast Chastens Apostasy. And first I'm going to talk about a revelation that was given to a young lady, Kaylee, on 5/22/2007. She said, I was visiting the old church I went to when I lived in Texas. The church building was a lot larger than I remember, and on this day the church was having a large conference of some kind, and all the age groups were broken up. I decided that that morning I wanted to help with the children's activities and everything that had to do with the children. After I began helping with the children, I noticed that there was a group in the auditorium that was kind of in their own section, not surrounded by any other group of children. I thought that was a little strange, and I asked a few of the other volunteers or friends, and they very quietly and almost a whisper told me that those children had HIV. And no one really knows about them other than the church staff and those who volunteer with the children. Most of the other children don't even know. Those who have found out have left the church. Well, you can imagine. In the natural, anyway, the children here represent the people in the church who are spiritually immature. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 20, it says, Brethren, be not children in mind, yet in malice be babes, but in mind be men, meaning of full age, of course. Now, in the natural, HIV is human immunodeficiency virus, which weakens the body's immune system until it can no longer fight off its enemies. This leads to AIDS, which is acquired immune deficiency syndrome, and death shortly thereafter. The interpretation is one who is spiritually immature cannot fight off their enemies of sin and its curse, and is ultimately conquered, and spiritually dies even though they still occupy a pew. So those who find out that their church is in this state generally leave as the ones who left shows. Of course, you don't want to catch that. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And pretty much a lot of churches are totally leavened with this. They can't fight off disease because they don't know what the Word of God says. They can't fight off the curse. Demonic possessions because they don't know what the Word of God says. So she went on to say, when she told me this, I was alarmed that no one truly cared to help these children and had been keeping this very serious matter a secret to most of the congregation. Nonetheless, I continued working with the children. Well, we know that most of the spiritually immature do not know that there is spiritual HIV in their own congregations. And most congregations generally get totally taken over by this until people who recognize that this is immaturity and dangerous leave, okay, which everybody should be leaving. So at the end of the conference, all of the families left, and then all of the church staff and volunteers began to leave. Mm-hmm. And when I started walking out, I saw my father and a few of my friends. I ran up to them and asked, "Did you know that there is a large group of children who have HIV in this church?" They all agreed that they in fact knew that there were children with that ailment and didn't seem to care. Okay, my thought on this is that this spiritual state is so common that it is not looked on as the great danger that it is. She went on to say, "Then I asked them, how did the children get HIV? Why haven't you guys left the church like the others?" Well, physically, the deep state created HIV. So it comes from the beast. In the natural, children generally get HIV from their mother at birth. And the mother gets it from the father. The fathers are the spiritual leaders of the church. Paul said, "You have not many fathers, I begat you through the gospel." So spiritually, the fathers or pastors are the ones who sow the seed, this diseased seed of immaturity, from their beastly nature, which destroys the immune system of the church, who is the mother of the individual members. The seed that is sown is most of the church makes perpetual children out of its members who have no real defense against the principalities and powers who administer the curse. The cure is, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, or you'll catch the same disease and you might sit in that dead church for 50 years. My dad told me, I'm not really sure how the children got HIV, but I do know the church leaders know. Maybe you should ask them." Uh-huh. The pastors know how the children got in this weak state because they sowed the seed of the powerless dead religion in them. I haven't left the church because this is my church, and I'm not leaving just because there is a disease here, is kind of what's going on. Those who will not leave when they see this state in the church don't, because they are in gross idolatry with their dead religion. I mean, they may see truths of others who are living above the curse and because of their understanding, but they don't leave the church because of that idolatry. I couldn't understand how and why the church was so secretive about this issue that they had in their church. I thought all of the people who had stayed, including my father and friends, were extremely ignorant. And I knew that I would not stand for a church that covered up something. I left the parking lot of that church very disturbed at how much it had changed, and I knew it was never going back. Well, amen. As soon as I woke up, the Lord revealed to me what this dream meant. He was showing me how prevalent the apostate church is in America. The children with HIV represent a disease in the church that the church members and leaders knowingly ignore. Instead of coming out of the church, many stay knowing it is not what the Lord desires for them. Shouldn't those children be healed of their ailment, since by His stripes they were healed? Well, yes, but generally the ignorant don't know this or the power of God to save from sin and its curse of death. They almost have to come out of there when they get the first inklings so that they can find truth and overcome this. And many of you listening, you have done that. You have come out of church, maybe after church, you know, as you gain knowledge, you know. So she said, I believe that this is a warning to those who the Lord has revealed the apostate church to, but have ignored his revelation and continued to walk in their ignorance. Since my earthly father was in this group of people, I knew the Lord was confirming to me that he was, in fact, talking about the ignorant children who have seen the apostasy but didn't turn back to him. For many years, my father has ignored many of the revelations that the Lord has given me that I have shared with him and has decided to ignore them. The Lord's children need to turn back to him if they have seen the apostasy and have ignored it. If he has not yet revealed the apostasy to them, let this be a testament to his love for them to show them what is going on in our churches and come back to him. Well, we know that Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh, how true that is. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. See, they totally wean you away from the word because there's too much contrary to their dead religion in there. I also will forget thy children, and as they were multiplied, so they sinned against me. Yep, you raise up your children in this apostasy, they will be apostate. And I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people and set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways, and I will requite them their doings. And they shall eat and not have enough. They're starving to death, spiritually, I would say. They shall play the harlot and shall not increase, because they have left off taking heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the understanding. They're like drunks. You know, they're out of touch with reality. My people ask counsel at their stock, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredom hath caused them to err, and they have played the harlot, departing from under their God. So, what is God's cure? Well, the fall of Babylonian religion in them is caused by some things I will share with you. Our Father is raising up a beast kingdom as a demolition crew to tear down or to burn down all the wood, hay, and stubble built on the foundation of Christ. You can be sure that everything built on the sifting sands of this world will go too, for everything that can be shaken will be shaken. In a vision, I was standing on a mountain and looking down the mountainside. I saw a construction crew coming up the mountainside, putting up the big metal power poles for high voltage power lines. And then I looked down beside me on the ground and noticed a very old, emaciated cow lying there. It looked as though it was about to die. And next to it was a very large baby boy that I knew had been born from that cow. And of course, my experience as a minister is this experience, is there are a people coming out of these dead religions to follow the Lord. Next, I saw a front-end loader come and scoop up the cow and carry it away. I picked up the baby and walked over and got on an escalator. And as we were going up, I noticed a woman next to me with a normal-sized baby. Looking at my baby, she said, "That looks like a real baby boy." watching the front end loader carry away the cow, I said, yeah, I wonder how that's possible. Well, it's possible with God because he's bringing them out, right? It's possible because a remnant people in this trap of dead religion, which is not power from God to save, heal, or deliver, realize this and are birthed from the old cow, which doesn't even feed good milk. Okay. Then the scene changed, and I was walking into a minister's conference, and all the famous religious leaders of the United States were there. A famous minister who everyone knows and who I felt represented a generation of ministers walked over and handed me some papers. I would say these are the Saul ministries, not the David ministries. Handed me some papers. Then the Lord said to me, this is his propaganda about what he has accomplished. Well, if we have accomplished anything, it is by God's power and his will and his grace. Because a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven, right? It's grace. God gave me the interpretation in my spirit. The power lines are the power of God coming to faithful Christians in the kingdom, symbolized by the mountain. The power will not come until the old cow, the Babylonish religious systems of men, are moved out of the way, just as new wine cannot be put in an old wineskin. I was told that the old cow was the golden calf now come to full age and passing away. Yeah, the golden calf. Remember when they first came out of Egypt, they made their god from the Egyptian god, this golden calf. Okay, so they were mostly worldly, and their worship of their worldly god, you know, was apparent. We read in Exodus 32 and 4, and he received it at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a molten calf. And they said, these are thy gods, O Israel. And that's what they tell you in these dead churches. This is the God that saved you. No, it's not. These are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. They were speaking of the golden calf. They said in Hebrew, this is thy God. And God here in the literal is Elohim, just as it is in verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, that thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? See, that's a great miraculous God. It's not the dead church that a lot of people end up in, claiming that this is that God, and they lie. And it says in verse 5, and when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to Jehovah. Lord here in the literal is YHWH, the name of our God, which cannot be pronounced actually unless you add to it the vowels, right? So in other words, they were calling the golden calf Elohim and YHWH, which some people have translated to Yahweh, okay? It's still adding vowels to make you be able to pronounce it. The flesh can speak it. You can know it. You know YHWH. You know that that is the Lord. But you can't speak it. The flesh can't speak it. They were giving God's name to a false god. If you have been sold on a Jesus that looks different from the Jesus of the Bible, guess what? You're worshiping the golden calf, the old cow. The old cow is another Jesus, as Paul called it in 2 Corinthians 11 and 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you do well to bear with him. He was the Egyptian Baal, the false virgin-birthed son of God from Babel, a fake. You will take on the image of the Jesus that you follow. Hence, the old cow represents those who have taken on the image of a false Jesus. They are Baal worshipers. As this old cow is being moved out of the kingdom, the greater works will be manifest through the true disciples of Christ. That's those high-tension power lines, right? We want only the true image of Jesus, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, meaning, of course, that you can see that Christ lives in you by faith, right? Are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. This is the secret. It is the faith. It's believing those things that aren't on the physical level to be true, so that they can become on the physical level. So the greatest army the world has ever known is about to come against what is thought to be the kingdom of God. They are the construction crew that will move the Babylonish cow out of the way. A remnant baby will come out of this cow and come to maturity, which is pictured in Zion, right? Jeremiah 50:3-12 says, "For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate." All throughout history, God has raised up a beast against his apostate people. Just read the Bible. You'll see it over and over and over. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, you know, just one kingdom after another. And now we're looking at one, a beast out there. And it's just destroyed a lot of God's people, too. "And none shall dwell therein. They are fled, they are gone, both man and beast." In other words, the beast drove them from their apostate church. "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, and the children of Judah together, and they shall go on their way weeping, and shall seek the Lord their God." So once they get delivered of their apostate religion by the help of the beast, they'll go looking for the real true God. They may look in their Bible and say, "Well, I was ignoring all these verses." You know, yeah. "So they shall inquire concerning Zion," because that, they will realize, is maturity. That's the place of supernatural, powerful, true Christianity. "With their faces thitherward, saying, Come ye and join yourselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that shall not be forgotten." What happened to the apostates? They have forgotten that those who add to or take away from the word are under the curses of the Bible, as the last verses of the Bible warn us. "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds, their pastors, have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversary said, We're not guilty, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of righteousness, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Flee out of the midst of Babylon," and he's talking about Babylonish religion, "and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats, before the flocks. In other words, don't wait till somebody, you see somebody else go out. Get out. You be the leader. For lo, I will stir up and cause to come up against Babylon a company of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as an expert mighty man. None shall return in vain. So this is happening now to political and spiritual Babylon. And Chaldea, which is just an older name for Babylon, shall be a prey. All that prey upon her shall be satisfied, says the Lord. Because you are, have you seen the church being plundered? Especially with this hurricane that came through, and they had a whole bunch of more hurricanes ready to go through, to go across the country with this. That was their plan. Because you are glad, because you rejoice, O ye that plunder my heritage, because you are wanton as a heifer that treadeth out the grain, and neigh as a strong horse, or horses, your mother, that is Babylon, shall be utterly put to shame. She that bare you shall be confounded. Behold, there's that old cow. She that bare you shall be put to shame and confounded. Behold, she shall be the hindermost of the nations, a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. So the escalator represents the rest, because you don't work on an escalator. You just stand on it and you go. And the promises of the Word of God are that way. They are the rest. When you believe them, you can cease from your works, right? And that's what this is. The escalator represents ceasing from your own works, like climbing steps, which we're told in Hebrews 4, 10 through 11. For he that is entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works. And that's what religion is. Most of all of the apostate religions, they are all not resting from their works. It's totally their works. It's totally a mind game, as God did from his. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after this same example of disobedience. So we do this through faith in the promises, as it says in Hebrews 4, 1 through 3. Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. You notice, it's dangerous not to enter into the rest, because you don't have the power of God. It's your own power, and you're left to it, too. When you go your own way to do your own thing, to save yourself, well, guess what? You just pushed God out the door. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. So when you hear the promises of the word of God, you unite that by your faith. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works are already done. We just enter into them by faith. The worldly church is so busy doing things in the flesh, they don't know any other way. You do not walk upon an escalator. You just rest. God's land of rest is standing on the promises, as God told Joshua in Joshua 1 and 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you have I given it, as I spake unto Moses. And Jesus taught us in Mark 11 and 24 in the NENT, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. So, If you believe that you have received, you will cease from your struggles, your self-works, and anxiety to bring it to pass. And all of your money that you pour into these dead cows. And we're told in 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the boldness which we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we've asked of him. How much easier is it to do this and trust in this and believe this than it is to go out by your own works and continue to try to save yourself the way the world does. For we who have believed do enter into that rest. So in ceasing from our works, because the works are already accomplished by God in Hebrews 4:3. Okay. For instance, if we ask God to deliver us from some sin or sickness, 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare, past tense, our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So here you have God having already dealt with sins and your health. Or it could be some other curse. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us, past tense, from the curse of the law. When you believe the promise and that it's already been done, you can cease from your struggles. God will do the rest. His power comes in when you quit. When you rest. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Your curse was put upon him. We must believe that we have received, since these promises are all past tense. And notice it says, bear our sins, and were healed, and redeemed us from the curse. It's all past tense, so that you have to stop when you believe what it says. You have to cease because it's already done. And that's how you bring things from the spiritual world into the physical world. In Ephesians 2:8, in the original Greek, it says, for by grace have you been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. If you have been saved, then you are saved. The word saved here is the Greek word sozo, and it's translated made thee whole. It's done, notes. In some other scriptures, including Luke 8:48, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. So obviously being healed is part of being saved from the curse of sin. The word saved also means saved in circumstances, as in Matthew 8:25. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, save, Lord, we perish. And it means a deliverance in Luke 8:36. And they saw that it told them how he that was possessed with demons was made whole. So saved covers deliverance from sin and its curses. And remember, you have been saved at the cross, where Jesus said in John 19:30, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He also said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So by this rest, the baby will come nearer and nearer to God, going up the escalator. And be protected and provided for in the days to come by the awesome promises that we claim. Like in Psalm 91 and 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, it's a secret because almost of all of the church doesn't know about it. It's abiding in Christ Jesus, the Jesus who did all those miracles and provided everything in the Bible. Not another Jesus who is weak and worthless and doesn't do anything for you. Yeah. So, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. I will say it. I will say of the Lord, my God in whom I trust, for He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with His pinions. Under His wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. How many of the Christians recently did not escape the deadly pestilence? Mm-hmm. All because they trusted in men instead of God. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Yep, well, you know, we're not worried about the pestilence out there. We're not worried about getting around the people with the pestilence out there. We're not worried about the vaccines. We're not worried about any of that garbage. It don't bother us. It's not supposed to. But you don't need any of what they call as a cure. The beast created this to depopulate, and it's working. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. God calls it an evil heart of unbelief. He calls them the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. And there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Okay, so that's the righteous. That's the people who believe. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Notice the condition. Enter into the rest. The angels will protect you. Confess the faith. The angels will protect you. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. If you love the Lord, you love his word, because he is the word. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. That's what everybody needs in this time of this great flood of destruction, right? Set on high. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 125 and 1 says, they that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. There it is. There's your journey down the highway of holiness that leads to Zion, right? Which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from this time forth and forevermore. So the Lord is round about those who go to Zion. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, that the righteous put not forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that are good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. But as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, like dead religion has done, exactly so. Just totally throwing out anything that's supernatural about Christianity. They don't believe in the power, and they don't want you to believe in it. The Lord will lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. Yes, he will. Peace be upon Israel. When God's people strayed from the word, guess what? They were led forth by the beast into captivity. Mm-hmm. The cow does not even believe in the protection and blessing of the secret place of the Most High, which we just read in Psalm 91. The cow eats grass, which Peter said was flesh. They partake of a fleshly word. In 1 Peter 1 and 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth. Not much to keep you sustained, right? And this represents a fleshly understanding of the word. The cow only feeds milk. And we're told in Hebrews 5 and 13, for everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So we're back to the immature here, right? But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So they are still babes without experience of the word of righteousness, and it represents being without spiritual senses. Born-again people have born-again senses to know and understand good from evil. As spiritual men, we must have spiritual senses. Our carnal senses trap and rule over us and our land when we live according to what we see, hear, and feel as the old man and the world does. We have to walk by faith in the promises, not be moved by everything we see and feel around us. This is how we walk as sons of God. God showed me concerning the ministers' conference that they were the bulls of Bashan who had been sowing their seed in the cow. Yeah, that's those apostate ministers. Psalm 22, 12 and 13 is a prophecy of the religious leadership, the bulls, in Jesus' day who hindered him, came against him all the time. Psalm 22 and 12, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gape upon me with their mouth as a ravening and roaring lion. Yes, they do, and they still do it today. And in verse 1 and 16 and 18 are those who opposed his leadership, like the bulls of Bashan. Psalm 22 and 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Jesus being crucified by these wicked people who raised up the disciples before they got their eyes opened and came out from among them and followed Jesus. Psalm 22 and 16, for dogs have compassed me. A company of evildoers have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They part my garments among them, and upon my vesture do they cast lots. A prophecy of the crucifixion of the body of Jesus, and it's still happening today. The disciples were the new church leadership. The true disciples are going to be given a new leadership like those who followed Jesus out of Babylonish Judaism. Isaiah 1 and 26 says, and I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. And afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, a faithful town. So God gave the old covenant, but at the time of Jesus, they had corrupted it into a respect for men and traditions instead of the word. Christianity has repeated this history. Jesus came to make disciples, which is the Greek word mathetes, which means learners and followers. You're to learn and to follow Jesus. If they're not teaching you to walk in the steps of Jesus, they're apostates. They're Baal worshipers. Of the word and lead them out. You have to be learners and followers of the word and leave Babylon. True disciples will hear no other voice but his. And it says in, as it says in John 10:3-5, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he hath put forth all of his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So, we're to follow Jesus out of the sheepfold of apostate Christianity. Very clear. And a stranger will they not follow. There's lots of people who are satisfied to sit and listen to strangers, you know, who are Baal worshipers. But will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Yep. You might say, I would like to bring healing to this old corrupt religious cow. Have you read Jeremiah 51:9? It says, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her. Let us go, everyone, into his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. Forsake her. You know why? The beast is coming to bring destruction to that which is not Christianity. Read the book of Acts. Read the Gospels. That's Christianity. Forsake her, brothers and sisters, and dwell in the promised land, meaning live on his promises, and receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, as Paul writes in Hebrews 12:28-29. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Yep, he's burning up the wood, hay, and stubble of our lives and our religion. We're commanded to come out from among them and be ye separate. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's what they are. Do they believe the word of God? Do they believe to walk in the steps of Jesus? Do they believe to heal the sick, cast out devils, and so on and so forth? No, they are not believers. Jesus said, these signs shall accompany them that believe. So what does that make them? Unbelievers. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He said he will dwell in you. If the Jesus of the Bible dwells in you, it's because he's doing the same things he did back then. And they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. That's Baal worship. And I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And Revelation 18:4-5, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Isaiah 52:11, Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, cleanse yourselves, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. Jeremiah 51:6 says, flee out of the midst of Babylon, and save every man his life, Be not cut off in her iniquity, for it is time of the Lord's vengeance. How does he wreak vengeance on these apostate churches? He brings a beast upon them. Read the second half of the tribulation period when the beast makes war on the saints. You're getting prepared to miss that. Okay? He will render unto her a recompense. My people, go ye out of the midst of her and save yourselves, every man, from the fierce anger of the Lord. And Jeremiah 56 through 8. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds, their poimen, their pastors, right, have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. Yep, they're not very heavenly, right? They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversary said, we're not guilty, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of the righteous, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Our spiritual fathers taught us Christianity, and we want to learn it from a bunch of shepherds that have totally gone astray. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flocks. Okay, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about leaven and truth and the bride. So in the church of my youth, I always felt the spirit and the joy in worship and fellowship, which was good. I'm talking about after I was born again, obviously. It was good. And God did not condemn us for that. We were babies, you know, and God didn't condemn us for that. But you have to keep moving. You have to keep following the Lord. You don't get stuck in these things, because when you read the Bible, you see the correct, right? Okay. All denominations have a piece of the Lord. They just reject one another's piece. And that's what makes them a denomination or a sect or a division. All of which Galatians calls a work of the flesh. But the doctrine of my church was leavened, just as in all churches that don't teach and act on the pure word. And as it was then with me, you will need to outgrow all that in order to be birthed to the next level. And this is the way to the bride. She sits on the highest level of heavenly Jerusalem and includes the man-child in her body and the bride in her body. And those who don't outgrow sects, S-E-C-T-S, to be one with the holy elect as the Shulamite, the Hebrew meaning is perfect, as the Shulamite bride was called in Song of Solomon, will never be in the bride and instead will be relegated to the queens and concubines and the virgins. Yeah, Song 6 and 8. There are 70 queens, 80 concubines, and virgins without number. But my dove, my undefiled, or my perfect, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. Do you want to be a member of that bride or the queens and the concubines and the virgins, right? No. You want to be a member of this bride, this perfect bride. The only way you can do that is continue to walk and believe in the word of God and let the preachers believe whatever they want. She's the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and called her blessed. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Well, they saw something in her that was like Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Because the word was in them, they saw that in them. The bride will be taken into the house of the king on spiritual Mount Zion. The queens, the concubines, and virgins will cry to look again at that which was pleasing to the Lord, because she was taken into the king's house, right? And they hadn't really previously desired to be that. You know, they criticized, right? 13, return, return, O Shulamite, the perfect one, right? Return, return, that we may look upon thee. Why will you look upon the Shulamite as upon a dance of Mahanaim? So the thing that causes us to outgrow the immature churches is a respect for the word above all else, including the idolatry that Christians have with these false institutions. The word has to be respected above even dreams and visions, which the religious spirits are well able to perform with God's permission, so that we may be tried and tested. So, you know, our protection from this deception is always a love for truth and a hatred for the leaven of lies. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9 says, even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Yes, the devil emulates the power, the signs, and the wonders of the Lord Jesus, and they want to pull people aside to these false signs and wonders, like the false revival movement. It was just that. They all wanted to see something supernatural, not necessarily something that casts the devil out, or sin out, or sickness out. No, no, no. No, they just wanted to see signs and wonders, and God gave them signs and wonders, false and lying signs and wonders. And for this cause, God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the constant feeding on lies and false spirits must be departed from before the 7 years, or one will miss the bride who is chosen before the 7-day/year marriage feast. That's right. Exodus 12 and 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. They came out of Egypt, and this is what he was telling them. 7 days you eat unleavened bread, the pure word of God. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. And for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the 7th day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. We've seen it happen. And when there is idolatry with the institutions of men, which holds fellowship and submission to them higher than fellowship and submission to the word, and the more righteous, we open ourselves up to deception that comes from the Lord himself. He'll send them a delusion, he said. So the denominations of Israel were deceived in this way, and the church has followed the pattern. Ezekiel 14 and 1 says, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, these men have taken their idols into their heart, and have put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, every man of the house of Israel that taketh his idols into his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him therein according to the multitude of his idols. In other words, he'll tell him what he wants to hear, right? That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, return ye and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all of your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that separateth himself from me, and taketh his idols into his heart, and putteth a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet to inquire for himself of me. I, the Lord, will answer him myself. I will set my face against that man. I will make him an astonishment, for a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived, and speak a word, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. So there you have it. A lot of people, they want what they want, and they don't want spiritual revelation and truth. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word, okay? With the scriptures above, I only scratched the surface of the problem, but I have great hopes for you to outgrow religion and follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That's what happened when they came out of the sheepfold. They heard the voice of the true shepherd, and they followed him. So, follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That's Revelation 14 and 4. So, God bless you, my friends, and I'll leave you with your decision and pray for you, and I hope you will be in the bride. Oh, praise be to God. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, God bless you, saints, in Jesus' name. Amen.